I'd like to talk to you about Hosanna prophecy and Palm Sunday. Hosanna prophecy and Palm Sunday. Hosanna, Hosanna. What's that mean? Save now, save now. Now, this is what's going to be spoken on Palm Sunday. Right now, we celebrate Palm Sunday. Coming this Friday, we have our Good Friday service at 6:30. Everybody be here. You know what? We have everybody show up for Christmas Eve, but for some reason, they don't show up for Good Friday. My goodness, it's when Christ died for our sins. Everybody be here Friday. And not only be here, but bring all your unsaved family and friends. Throw them in the car. Tempt them with food, whatever. Get them here, man. Come on, we'll go to Big City Diner, have dinner. We'll go to the Good Friday service. They need to hear about the cross of Christ, the blood of Christ, the salvation of Christ, the good news of Christ, and so on and so forth. And let's get them saved, amen? Hey, we're in the last days. We're shooting missiles into Syria. The Bible says Damascus will be destroyed overnight. In the last days, it's getting pretty close. I'm sorry, I've got a cold. I'm all plugged up here, so hang in there with me. Amen. Trying to get rid of this thing. This is what we find, everybody. Now, I'm excited this morning. I'm pumped up. I just went to a conference. I'm ready to go. I'm just going to run here in place right now. Anyway, we find Matthew chapter 21 as we look to this Palm Sunday and Hosanna, save now, save now. Now, here's the deal. Most of Israel wanted a king to reign and rule and deliver them from the Roman tyranny. They wanted material, political, governmental blessings instead of salvation for the heart. And this is what determines real salvation and false salvation. Some people come to God for what they can get from Him materially. Oh God, just bless my life, bless my life, bless my life. No, we've come to God and come to Christ because we've recognized we are sinners and we're headed to the judgment of hell. And Christ died for our sins, and He saves us, and He changes us into the image of God, the character of Christ. And thus, we are saved, headed to heaven. People that get saved because they want just the blessings of God, when the blessings don't come, they leave God. That's not true salvation, my friend. True salvation is recognizing you're a sinner, and you need desperately the Savior to save you. Amen. So we find Matthew 21, Jesus has finished his 3.5 years of public ministry. He's heading to the cross. It's the last week of his life on planet Earth. Well, he's going to resurrect and have another 40 days. But anyway, we find before he goes to the cross, and it's now Sunday. Friday will be when he gets crucified. The following Sunday, he's going to rise again. All right? So we find here in chapter 21, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Now, this is the fulfillment of a prophecy by the prophet Zechariah. In 520 BC, Zechariah prophesied that when the Messiah comes, he wrote the following. He says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. 500 years later, Jesus fulfills this prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Jesus fulfilled between 300 and 400 prophecies as he came the first time. He's going to fill most of estimated, probably another 600 when he comes the second time. What separates the Bible from all other religions and religious books is prophecy. Telling the future. And it is, the Bible is, 100% accurate. 100% accurate. No mistakes, because God wrote the book. Amen? Our God is omniscient and eternal. We find, Jesus says, go get the colt, just like Zechariah said. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, save now, to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now they are screaming this out with the top of their lungs because they want salvation. Now Jesus is going to bring them salvation, but it's not the salvation they really want. Because the salvation they really need will bring repentance. And that's the problem. So many people don't want to repent. They don't want to change their life. They want to remain God of their life. There's only one on the throne, my friends. It is God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator. And either you get in line with Him or you're not in line at all. You see? I've heard people say, well, I'm a Christian out there and I'm living immorally and doing all these things. You know, what, my friend, you can't be a Christian and be doing both. You need to repent of your sins. I'm a homosexual Christian. No, you can't be a homosexual Christian. It doesn't work that way. You have to repent of your sins. Whether it be a heterosexual sinner, homosexual sinner, you have to repent of your sins. If you're a transgender, you have to repent of your sins. It's very simple. Who am I? What is my identity? Parts is parts. Amen? Parts is parts. Just look. You'll figure it out. Okay, you put your pants on. They're right there. Parts is parts. Very simple. But see, the enemy is such a liar, such a deceiver. Everything he does is to confuse and to destroy the image of God. From you, in your mind, in your heart, as well as even the physical makeup that you've been given by God. This is how Satan is such a liar. And he's lying to the transgenders. He's lying to the homosexuals. He's lying to the heterosexuals. He was lying to me until I came to Jesus Christ for salvation in repentance. Then I was filled with the Holy Spirit of what? Truth. Because I came to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. His name is Jesus, amen? And all of a sudden, I was able to see my sins and see the Savior and see God and understand who God is and what He's designed for me and for you. We now see the kingdom of God. We now live in the kingdom of God. And guess what? We become a blessed people. Save now, amen? Save now. If you're not saved this morning, I pray that this is your day of salvation. You'll give your heart to Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, your life will never be the same. Pastor, I can't give my heart to Christ. I won't change. You know, I'll just be a hypocrite. No, you're going to be changing. God changes you day by day. You're not going to be perfect. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Only Jesus. But you'll be changed day by day. Don't listen to that lie of the devil. I used to listen to that lie. I can't become a Christian, you know, I'll just be a hypocrite. No. You need the power of God to come into your heart by the Holy Spirit, by Christ, and you'll change. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? The word move in the Greek is seios, S-E-I-O-S, seios. Guess what English word we get from seios? Seismic. Seismic. It was seismic when Jesus came into Jerusalem. And the people were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. So it was, the people were moved. It was a seismic move so that the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and he drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now, sometimes people come in, they say, you know what, I don't know if you guys should really be selling those books and things at your book table out there in the lobby and so forth. Look. Now, remember this. They were selling doves, and they had money changers, okay? And the doves were for sacrificing, and they were charging an exorbitant price because they look at the dove that you would bring in and say, ooh, see that little spot on the dove? We can't accept that dove, but you got to buy our dove. Oh, I know it's twice the amount, but hey, you're in the temple. It's convenient, right? You know, they were a bunch of ripoffs. These are resources for people to grow in Christ. So it's, and be honest with you, we really don't make anything out of it anyway, like with the shipping and all that from the mainland. But anyway, we try to make it at a good price. Sometimes I just have to share those things because people get a little confused, and it's okay. We're here to help out. It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he what? What's it say? Now, think about this now. There's 2 million people that have come to the feast. This is a major feast of Passover. Unleavened bread. They've come. Now, what is the population of Hawaii? 1,250,000, 300,000 roughly? Think about it. 2 million. Two states of Hawaii are all in Jerusalem right now. That's a lot. If you've gone to Israel with us, you've been to Jerusalem, that's a lot of people. It is packed, jammed with people. They're going to be doing 260,000 sacrifices there at the temple. Unbelievable what's going on. It is hustling. It is bustling. It is moving. And Jesus creates a seismic move. People are looking at him and calling upon him, Hosanna, Hosanna, because God is at work. And then the blind and the lame, they come to him, and he's healing them. And many others came to him too, and he healed them in other gospels. So he's manifesting his final miraculous works before their very eyes. And unfortunately, this day they say Hosanna, and unfortunately, the next they're going to say, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. People are fickle. One moment you're a hero, the next moment you're a goat. People are fickle. But when you come to Christ, you recognize he's your Savior, and you praise him all day long. You praise him all life long. You're going to praise him for all eternity. Amen? Because you're born again of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible says here, the blind, the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children cried out in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were filled with joy. They were rejoicing. They were saying, this is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the Son of God. He is God incarnate. He is our Messiah that the prophets have spoken of. Is that what it says? I must be reading a different version, amen? No, it says that these religious leaders were what? Indignant. Why? They were jealous. They were envious. They were prideful. They were arrogant. And yes, they were extremely religious. Religion doesn't save, my friends. Religion has never saved a soul. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. You got to come to Christ for salvation. You don't come to Calvary Chapel for salvation. You come to Jesus Christ for salvation. I haven't saved a soul. I just am an ambassador delivering the message. That's it. Speaking of ambassadors, don't you like that Nikki Haley? Oh, man, she's tough. She's tough. Go get them, girl. I love it. Anyway, no, we're sidetracked now. Woo! It says, and he said to them, they were indignant and said to him, they said to Jesus, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. The little babies would worship me. The little babies would cry out. The little babies, simple, innocent. But you know what? It's amazing. As we get older, we're not so innocent, are we? Sin really begins to manifest itself. You get in those teenage years, whoa, man, it's now really raising its ugly head. Which way are you going to go as you get older? For Christ or for the world, for the flesh, for the devil? We always pray for Christ, amen? Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. Okay, here's this Palm Sunday, this event going on. I want us to flip over to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Luke, chapter 19. I want to bring in a little bit more to your attention of what Luke brings to us about what Jesus said at that time. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Because we're going to go back to the future and learn from the prophet Daniel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. I love it. We find ourselves the exact same story. We find ourselves, go to verse 39 or verse 38. The people were saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." In other words, there's something very unique about this special day. Palm Sunday, because they laid palm branches down in front of the donkey as he entered into it. It was a victory parade is what it was as he came in. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Rebuke your disciples. I tell you, if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." All creation knows Jesus Christ. Yes, even the rocks. All creation knows. If God wanted a rock to speak, he could do it. Amen. "Now as he drew near, he saw the city." Jesus saw the city and wept over it. You know, we see Jesus weeping at the death of Lazarus. It says Jesus wept, shortest verse in the Bible. And here he is weeping over Jerusalem because he knows they're going to reject him. And he knows because of that, judgment will fall upon them. They will reap what they sow. The provision of God, the protection of God, the blessings of God will be removed from the Jewish people. Listen to what he says. "If you had known even you, especially in this your day." I want you to highlight that, underline it, make a notation of it. "In this your day," to the very day. "If you had known," he says, "in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." Now, did God hide it? No, he's spoken loud and clear through all the law and the prophets, through the Psalms. He's spoken loud and clear. They chose not to look. Thus, it's hidden from their eyes. God doesn't hide it. It's all there for them to read. It's all there for them to study. All they have to do is read God's book. But they chose not to. Yes, even the religious leaders. And folks, let me say this. There's a correlation to our day. Jesus is coming soon. Are you going to go up in the rapture today if it happened? Will you go up? Now, Jesus is going to take home a bride. A bride. Are you saved? Are you living for Christ? Don't be left behind. The rapture's coming. It could be today. Now listen. He says, "But make for the peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes." Verse 43, "For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." The day, the time of your visitation. Jesus is being very specific. This day, this time, This is your day, but it is hidden from your eyes because you've chosen not to read, not to study, not to learn, not to know. It is a time of visitation. You have closed the door on God. No visitors allowed. Does he not say that to the church of Laodicea? Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone will open the door of their heart, I will come into them and sup with them. The last day's church has kicked Jesus out. And Jesus says, this church is lukewarm and it makes me sick and I want to vomit it out of my mouth. Why? Because they left the word of God. They don't believe the word of God, but they're extremely religious. You see here, Jesus says, not one stone be left upon another. He is prophesying about the destruction of Jerusalem that will come in 70 AD. We read about that again in Matthew chapter 24. The disciples show him the beautiful buildings around the temple, and Jesus says, not one stone will be left upon another. If you travel with us to Jerusalem, they'll show you the stones off to the side where they've been thrown, and they've discovered them. Not one stone was left. That beautiful, beautiful, beautiful temple and its buildings surrounding it were completely destroyed by the Roman general Titus because a rebellion took place in Jerusalem in 70 AD. In fact, when you go to Rome, you'll see Titus's victory arch, and it shows them carrying off the golden menorah and other items within the engravings on the arch. Completely destroyed them, and thousands upon thousands were slaughtered in Jerusalem. There was gold on the top of the temple, and when they threw in the torches, because people ran into the temple for protection, the soldiers threw in their torches, and it created an inferno and melted the gold down and went between all these massive stones that built the temple. And then Titus, after he slaughtered many, used the rest as slaves to dismantle the temple and to remelt the gold to take it back to Rome. All this is proven history. It is proven history. And Jesus says, this is what's going to happen. You're going to face judgment. And you will be dispersed into the entire world, which the Roman general Titus took the Jews and he dispersed them amongst the Roman Empire as slaves. Everything the Bible talks about always, always has come to pass, is coming to pass, and will come to pass. Turn with me to Daniel's Gospel. I actually call it that. But anyway, the book of Daniel. Go with me to Daniel in the Old Testament. Go to chapter 9. Hosanna, Palm Sunday. But Jesus said this is a special day. This is a day of visitation. If only you knew the time. If only you knew the day. Now, when I bring this to your attention, I want you to think about yourself as a Daniel, looking ahead to the Messiah to come. And God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. And he says, just as I spoke to Daniel about the coming of my son, the Messiah, the first time, I am speaking to all you Daniel and Danielettes right now. And I am telling you to tell the world that my son is coming a second time. Amen? Now, we don't know the day or the hour for the second coming of Christ, for the rapture of the church. Now, the day of the second coming, you don't want to be here during the tribulation. For those in the tribulation, if they get saved, they read their scriptures, they'll know that it'll be exactly 1,260 days from the abomination that makes desolate in the great tribulation period, that is 3.5 years, according to the Babylonian calendar. It'll be 1,260 days until the second coming of Christ. But the day of the hour of the rapture of the church, no man knoweth. This is why we're ready, and we need to tell our family and our friends faster and more than ever, more effectively and efficiently than ever, that Jesus is coming soon. Now, I know they're going to say, oh, I've been hearing that for years. You keep telling them, my friend, because the truth will set them free. Let's take a look at Daniel. Go with me to verse 20, chapter 9, verse 20. Try to give you some time to get there. Daniel 9, 20. Daniel has just finished this beautiful prayer. And he's visited by the angel Gabriel. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. Daniel had been praying and fasting for 21 days. And the vision has finally come. God is ministering to him. I'm going to give you a vision of what's going to happen in the future. Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. 70 weeks, verse 24. The Hebrew word for weeks is Shabua. It means 70 sevens. And it speaks of 77-year periods. 490 years total. 70 times 7. This is what it means in the Hebrew. 490 years, to make it simple, 490 years are determined for your people. Who are Daniel's people? Daniel is Jewish. He's captive in Jerusalem. In Babylon, under the Medo-Persians. First, the Babylonians, then the Medo-Persians. And he's there for over 70 years. He's going to pass away. And then we find, he says, your people, that'd be the Jewish people, and for your holy city. There's only one holy city, my friends. What is the holy city? Jerusalem. It's not Rome, okay? They call that the eternal city. No, it's not eternal. It's going to be destroyed, okay? So don't be fooled with this Catholic mumbo-jumbo. All right? The holy city is Jerusalem. Right now, the world, the United Nations, along with the Catholic Church, they want to make Jerusalem an international religious city. What does that mean? Well, there's already a Muslim mosque there, right? Dome of the Rock Mosque. Well, they want to have it represent Muslims, Christians, Jews, as well as Hindus, Baha'i, Buddhists. They want to make Jerusalem an international religious city. And it's in the works, it's in the plans. Only God is holding it back. The Bible says that the Jews are going to rebuild a temple on that holy mount, Mount Zion. 490 years are determined for your people and for your holy city. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation of iniquity. The entire prophecy is concerned primarily with Daniel's people and their holy city, Israel and Jerusalem. For what purpose? Well, the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. The first coming of Christ, which we're talking about, Palm Sunday to Good Friday to the resurrection, 50 days later, day of Pentecost, so forth. We have the church age, and then comes the rapture, the great tribulation period, and the second coming of Christ. The first coming of Christ to finish the transgression. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, it is what? Finished. It's finished. The price for sin has been paid for by the Lamb of God. Secondly, to make an end of sins. When you come to Christ for salvation, your sins are completely washed away. Past, present, and future. And all God's people said, amen. Thirdly, to make reconciliation for iniquity. You've now been reconciled to God. You are now a child of God. You now know your Heavenly Father. You've been brought to Him by the great reconciler, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's redeemed our soul. We've been reconciled to God. We pray, He answers our prayers. He watches over us. He blesses us. He guides us. He helps us. And He'll take us to a holy heaven. Then we see reference to the second coming of the Messiah, Christ. It says, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Well, the first coming didn't bring in everlasting righteousness, right? This world is messed up. In fact, it's getting more evil. It's getting darker. It's getting more violent, more savage as we watch things take place across our planet. Mankind is becoming more brutal against one another. Jesus said it'll be like the days of Noah. It'll be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Also, to seal up vision and prophecy. Well, we don't need it sealed up right now. We need to know everything. What's coming? What have the prophets spoken? What has Jesus spoken? What have the apostles spoken in regards to the church and the last days? We need all of that. So there's no, can't seal it up yet. When Jesus returns, you can. To anoint the most holy place, or rather, to anoint the most holy, yes. When Christ returns, He will reign and rule from Jerusalem. He is the Holy One, and He'll rule from the holy city, the holy place, which is Jerusalem. And there'll be no other religions there, my friends. No other religions. All right, let's pick it up. Follow with me now. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand. Ah, there you go. Know and understand. You and I have to know and we have to understand. He says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince. This is speaking of Jesus. Messiah the Prince, all right? He's the Messiah. He's the Prince of Peace, amen, okay? When there is a command, so he says to Daniel, he says to all the Jews, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 69 weeks. 69 seven-year periods. 483 years. Simplest thing is just subtract the 7 from the 490 or 483, right? There's 70 weeks. Subtract 1 week. You're back at 483. There'll be 483 years. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. So here's what he's saying is, until Messiah the Prince, there's going to be 483 years. All right? Know and understand. Know and understand. 483 years. So all believers in Yahweh, in God, should know and understand as they read the prophets of God. So the question is, when is the command given to restore and build Jerusalem? Right now, the Jews have been conquered by the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Medo-Persians. And they have been dispersed amongst the nations. And then all of a sudden, the command is going to be given by the Medo-Persian king, Artaxerxes. We read about this in Nehemiah chapter 2, if you want to check it out. Chapter 2. And he gives the command, March 14th, 445 BC, to rebuild and restore Jerusalem. Now the timetable begins, the countdown begins, to when the Messiah, the Prince, will appear. Palm Sunday, of course. Zechariah said he'll come on a foal of a donkey, and all of a sudden you begin to count. Now, when you count the 483 years, it's not according to our calendar of 365 days, but it's according to the Babylonian calendar, of which is the calendar they were under. It is a 360-day lunar calendar. 360 days. Ah, now we go 483 years. That puts us at 173,880 days. March 14th, 445 BC, we go 173,880 days, puts us at April the 6th, 32 AD, which is the very day that Jesus is on the foal of a donkey riding into Jerusalem, and the people cannot help but say, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Word of God is 100% detailed and accurate to the most minute detail. And that's why Jesus says, if only you knew this day, but it's been hidden from your eyes. You've chosen not to read. You've chosen not to know God. You've chosen not to study his love letter to you. You've chosen this. And this is why we teach you from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, all the way through, so that you will fully comprehend and know and understand all things pertaining to God and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Not only will you know about his first coming, but you can bank on his second coming. Amen? You can know there's going to be a rapture of the church. Paul the Apostle writes about it, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. John writes about it, book of Revelation, chapter 3, the church of Philadelphia. I will keep you from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world. Why? Because you have kept my word. You have kept my word. You have not denied my name. Amen. You see, this is the word of God. It is living. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It'll lead me to the Messiah. It'll lead me to heaven. This is what God has given us. And thus, we cherish this beautiful book. And thus, we see Satan wanting to remove this book from all aspects of humanity, to destroy it, to eliminate it, to eliminate believers across the world. I came across a story. Here's one. A student says he was suspended from Rollins College for challenging his Muslim professor's anti-Christian assertions, including her claim that Jesus' crucifixion never took place. 20-year-old Marshall Polston, a sophomore at the private Florida-based four-year college, said that the professor of his Middle Eastern humanities class also told students that Jesus' disciples did not believe he was God. Polston, an avid traveler and a self-described Christian, has toured the Middle East and is familiar with the Muslim culture. He said, honestly, it reminded me of some of the more radical groups I researched when abroad. Polston told the Central Florida Post about his professor's comments on Jesus. Quote, whether religious or not, I believe even those with limited knowledge of Christianity can agree that according to the text, Jesus was crucified and his followers did believe he was divine, that he was God. He continued, regardless, to assert the contrary as an academic fact is not supported by evidence. Folks, this is the infiltration. This is the destruction of Christianity within our country through Islam. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm into fighting. I'm not into backtracking. I'm not into just saying, go ahead, step on me. I'm into, we will stand up for what we believe, and we will tell you what we believe, and we're going to vote these fools out of office, and we're going to stand up and get our universities changed, get our schools changed, so that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is not contradicted nor destroyed. That is the Christian life. That's why the apostles were martyred for the faith. And that's why, as Mike McIntosh told us at the conference, precious little children in elementary schools in Syria are having their heads cut off because they are Christians and they will not deny their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, will we do the same? Are we just too caught up in our everyday humdrum life of doing this, running here, having all these things? We must make a stand in our Christian faith, my friends. You must be bold. You must be proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. You must be telling people about Christ. Now, if you're at work, you got to work. Do your job. That's the greatest testimony you have. But at the same time, we will not be silenced. We must stand strong in our faith. Otherwise, we will lose our faith in these United States of America. In God we trust, one nation under God. And all God's people said, amen. You see, this has got to be our last day's heart. We are to be warriors for Christ, soldiers for Christ. He says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall. That's exactly what Nehemiah did. He got permission from King Artaxerxes of the Medo-Persian Empire. He gave him the command to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild and restore the walls of Jerusalem because they were destroyed by the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, mainly by the Babylonians. And he went back. He got the command to go back and rebuild the walls on March 14th, 445 BC, 483 years later, 173,880 days to the very day on April the 6th, 32 AD, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey and they cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he comes in the name of the Lord. Your Christian faith is built on facts. On facts. Always remember that. Your Christian faith is built on facts. Facts of Bible prophecy. And thus, you can bank on it, you can depend on it, and you know for a fact that it's absolutely, completely true. Let's finish our little section here, and Daniel will call it a day. Even in troublesome times, and so it was when you studied the book of Nehemiah, you go to verse 26, and after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. He made a little statement there. There shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And we ask ourselves, why did he break it up? Well, it's very interesting. It was 7 weeks or 49 years from 445 to 397 where the last prophet of God will speak. That was Malachi. And then, so he gives an interesting statement about the last prophet will speak 7 weeks, and then there'll be the following 62 weeks. There was what's known as 400 years of silence from Malachi to the coming of Christ. God did not speak to the children of Israel. In other words, read your word, study it for 400 years. You'll know when your Messiah comes. Then he says this, and after the 62 weeks, which is actually the 69 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. The word cut off means he will be violently killed. Jesus was violently crucified a week later. He will be cut off. He's going to be crucified. You mean the Messiah's going to come and die? I thought he's going to come and reign and rule. No, he dies the first time as the Lamb of God. He'll come the second time as a lion from the tribe of Judah. He says, not for himself and the people of the prince who is to come. This is speaking of Titus who's going to come, that Jesus prophesied about one stone not being left upon another, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, which he did. He destroyed the temple in 70 AD. The end of it will be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That is the final tribulation week. The Roman Empire dissolved from within, but it wasn't conquered from without. It dissolved from within. Titus was part of the Roman Empire. It dissolves from within, and now it is revived again in the EU. Now, the EU is having problems, which the Bible talks about. But it revives once again, and the end shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. In other words, Jerusalem's going to be conquered time and time again. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, that is what we call the middle of the tribulation period, in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. The Antichrist rises up. We get raptured. The tribulation, 7 year tribulations begins. The Antichrist makes a covenant with the Jewish people. Israel's back in the land as Jesus prophesied, parable of the fig tree. And also in the first 3.5 years, they rebuild their temple. They start their sacrifices. The Antichrist comes into their temple and says, no, you must worship me. I am your God. And he sets up an image in the temple that is blasphemous against God. And it's known as the abomination of desolation. And then all the world, including the Jews, must worship him by taking the mark of the beast on their hand or on their forehead, 666, Revelation chapter 13. All this is going to take place at that midway point of the great tribulation period. He says, till the end of war desolations, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he shall bring it in to sacrifice an offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. The Antichrist will go through the world killing people if they don't take the mark of the beast, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate or on by the desolator. So he's going to be killing people in the tribulation period. What is our hope? What is our hope, you guys? God says to us, I have not appointed you to wrath, but to salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, for all believers, Revelation chapter 3, the church of Philadelphia, brotherly love, you keep my word, you don't deny my name, I'll keep you from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world. Just as the fulfillment of the first coming of Christ has taken place, so is the fulfillment of the rapture of the church at the end of the church age. Then starts that final 70th week of Daniel, that final seven-year period determined upon your people, Daniel, the Jewish people, and upon the holy city. It's going to take place. And that at the end of the 7 years is the return of Christ. And in the book of Revelation, you read that it says it'll be 1,260 days from the abomination of desolation to the second return of Christ. 1,260 days is used, 42 months is used. It affirms the very day of when Jesus returns from the abomination that makes desolate. So, folks, the word of God, I want you to walk away this morning with this. Your faith is built upon facts, and we need to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Invite your unsaved family and friends this Friday. Invite your unsaved family and friends to our Easter sunrise service next Sunday, 6:30 in the morning. Now, we've gotten some grace from the state. This time, we don't have to get buses here. You can actually go to the park and park in the absolutely clear parking lot that was there last year, okay? It'll be here this year. Folks, you don't understand. We had to fight to get the park again. Do you guys pay taxes? Do Christians pay taxes? Tell me. Did we pay for that park? Did we pay for the workers at the park? Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure I'm missing something here. So, you know, I care about them, but they got these weird rules. I don't know what it is. So we'll have the park next Sunday morning, sunrise service. We have a little sloping hill. We sit on the chairs, and we look out across the Pearl Harbor and so forth, and we'll have the band out there playing music. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful time, okay? So come on out and join us. If you're sleeping in, 8:30, 10:30, but grab as many unsaved people as you can. Let's do a sweep in these last days, because these islands are going to be destroyed during the tribulation period. I read the entire book of Revelation when I was flying back from L.A. I read Matthew. I was reading Revelation. I was reading Luke. I was just doing this Bible prophecy thing I was going through. And just like, oh, man, 6 hours, all I did was read. Just read, 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 read. I'm sure the people next to me go, does this guy ever stop reading? No. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Amen? I'll leave you one last thought. Aspire to inspire before you expire. Let's all stand. Live simply, love generously. Care deeply, speak kindly. Leave the rest to God. Happiness keeps you sweet. Trials keep you strong. Sorrows keep you human. Failures keep you humble. Success keeps you glowing. But only God through Jesus Christ keeps you going. Amen. Let's pray. And if you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your day, your moment. Father, we love you and we thank you for your grace and love and tender mercies, Lord. We are all sinners. We have done wrong before you. And thank you, Jesus, you came to save sinners, not perfect people. There's not one of us that can make it. And so, Lord, we rejoice in your salvation. And you know the people here, Lord. And you know who's saved, who's not saved. And they need to get right with you, whatever the case might be. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, may you speak to hearts. Man, if you want to get right with God, you want to get saved this morning, then raise your hand. Anybody here, you need salvation. You don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. You want Jesus to save your soul. Raise your hand. Anybody here this morning, you need to get saved. Raise your hand. Okay, Father, may you bless your people. May you guide our hearts together as one. May you do a great and mighty work. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.